Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hi, good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, Two Guys with Heart, and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave is here again as well, and we have a very good program lined up for you today. We usually ask our listeners to pick up pen and paper. You might want to take some notes as we lay some good material and good scriptures on you. Our subject material today, David, is called Talents and Skills. And I was amazed at how much information is in the Bible about us using our God-given talents and our God-given skills. One of the things that I have always advocated my entire adult life is that everybody you and I have ever met in our entire life does something better than we do. And my point in sharing that with people, for the most part, is to make sure that they don't lean on somebody else or say something negative or derogatory about other people, because those other people that you're talking about do something better than you do. So it's never a good idea to say, my neighbor is bad because, or my relative is bad because, or did you know what our coworker did? You know, because you know, all that negative things that sometimes you hear. Well, we should never do that, because that person that you're referring to, even those with severe disabilities, do something better than you. So we should always remember that before we are so anxious to say something derogatory or negative about other people. And you know what surprises me? The Bible is full of those kinds of quotes. The Holy Spirit planted greatness within you. The Holy Spirit is a gift and the giver of gifts. If we learn to appreciate that within ourselves, then we're more apt to try to find that ultimate gift and share it with the people in this good old world. The Holy Spirit decides if you get one, two, or five talents. Remember reading that? But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit divide into every man severely as he will. That's a quote from the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Every man receives different amounts of gifts and skill from the Holy Spirit. And unto one he gave five talents, and to another two, and to another one. To every man according to his several ability, and straightways took his journey. Matthew chapter 25, verse 15. So it's repeating that same kind of a thought process in a different area of the Bible. And sometimes they don't write it as clearly. I read these quotes are from the King James Version. And if they sound a little awkward to you, well, it does to me too, because we're kind of used to the new translations these days. But you have to accept that that's just how it was written. Destiny is to be discovered, not decided. God has already developed a plan for your life. You must enter his presence to discover it. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Jeremiah chapter 29, where that is written, your gift may be music, it might be writing, drawing, maybe you're administrative. Whatever it is, give attention to it. You see, the Holy Spirit expects you to develop and grow within your own gift, whatever that might be. And it's different for everybody. There's a lot of important facts you need to understand or appreciate when it comes to uncovering your gift. Remember, nobody else is aware of all of the gifts that you have. The Holy Spirit has placed within you a multitude of possibilities. The teacher of a famous opera singer, Enrico Cresutto. Remember Cresutto? And his name, he had this strong, powerful singing voice. Well, his first instructor said that he couldn't sing. Walt Disney, there's a good example. Remember the story of Walt Disney? He was fired by a newspaper that he worked for his lacking of ideas. An expert said that the famous football coach, Vince Lombardi, he possesses minimum knowledge and lacks motivation. How about Fred Astaire? Remember reading the story about Fred Astaire regarding his life? In 1933, a memo came from MGM Studios, a testing director, that said he can't act, he's slightly bald, but he can dance a little. They're talking about Fred Astaire. the teacher of the famous musician Beethoven called him hopeless as a composer. Can you imagine a teacher saying that to Beethoven? This guy is hopeless. The point is, whatever your skill level is, doesn't necessarily mean that other people are going to see it immediately, and it doesn't mean that you're going to be the grand expert guru when you're just a teenager. It takes time to develop these things and polish them, and for other people to see them and recognize them in you, and in fact, even for you to recognize them yourself, perhaps. That's why students in high school and college, and when they're planning their careers, they're really not absolutely certain what they want to do. Usually, those that do know exactly what they want and they can funnel their energy to doing just that are very, very fortunate. There's few of those people. There are some, but few of them. We almost always have to change gears later on in our adult life. That's how it goes. Your God-given talent may not jump out at you when you're 17 or 18 years old, but it should by the time you're 35, 36 years old. You see what I mean? So life can throw us a curveball and we just never know what to expect. Realize that your gift may not surface immediately, but over a period of many years, not just a few. 18 publishers turned down Richard Bach's 10,000-word story about a soaring seagull before Macmillan finally published it in 1970. By 1975, Jonathan Livingston, Seagulls had sold more than 7 million copies in the U.S. alone. So that's a little tidbit of wisdom I picked up about being patient to find your skill level, to be what you're good at. Be patient when your gifts take time and a season of preparation becomes strong. Beethoven handled the violin awkwardly and preferred playing his own composition instead of improving his techniques. Study to show thyself approved upon God. That says that was written that way in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to shew thyself approved unto God. That's a pretty powerful statement. David, you've been sitting quietly there. I can just see your head stirring and your thoughts racing through your mind. I know you have a lot to offer about the subject. What can you tell us about sharing your skills and your talents with the Lord?
Well, Giff, this is a great subject. Every parent today is watching their child grow up and wonder what gift is going to come out of him or her. When I was 12 years old, I was just a little kid. I looked out the window of our home one day, and I'd heard my mother say so many times, "Why did we build on a hill? I have no front yard. I have no grass. This is such a terrible place to live." And at my age, I felt concerned about my mom's prayers every day.
Mm-hmm.
Bothered me every time she brought it up. One day I looked out the window and I said, "I see where I think I could fix that. Get me a dad's old wheelbarrow and get me a shovel and a pick. And I could move this dirt out from the hillside and make it flat about 25 feet and by 50, and I could have a front yard for my mom." So I went to my mom and I said, "Mama, I want to work on the yard. Dad works all day and he doesn't have time, and nobody else in the family wants to, so I do. And could I get out the wheelbarrow and the shovel and and to pick and go out there and start making the ground level. And she said, "Oh, Dave, you're so skinny and you're just a little small boy at 12. You don't have muscles. You can't move that dirt." And I said, "Mom, I don't know what I can do, but I have a vision of doing this for you. Would you let me try?" She said, "Oh, yeah, you can try." And she expected me to do that for about a day or so, and I'd be tired. Well, I didn't know what I could do either. I'd never done anything. I was 12 years old, and just as thin as a rail, not very big, not very tall. I went out there with that pick and that shovel, and I'd start putting the wheelbarrow and wheeling it over the hill. And I made a dent in that hillside. And boy, I was tired. I went to bed exhausted that night. Next morning, I got up and I was laying in bed. And I said, "I wonder if I still have the dream of doing that hillside." And I got out of bed and I looked out the window. Something came over me that moment and said, "Yes, you can do it, Dave. Get out of bed and tell your mom to get you a breakfast and go back to work." And I yelled out, "Mom, give me breakfast. I got to go out there and work on the yard." She said, are you kidding? And I finished. It took me into the fall. That was in the summertime. Yeah. It took me into the fall, but I finished the whole thing 100 feet by 25, put grass in. I made a front yard for my mom. That was the beginning of wondering if I had any talent. Yeah. I didn't call it talent. I called it want to. I wanted to do that. I was learning that, hey, I could work. I knew how to work. My dad taught me how to work. I watched him. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I was in hog heaven, thinking that I could move dirt and make my mom happy.
That was a talent you had as a young man.
That was the first talent I realized I ever had.
That's a warming story.
And from there on, it goes through my life. Well, I've had a lot of times when I didn't have the talent I thought I did. Okay.
Yeah.
The school came up to the with a big bulletin board and said, "We have one trumpet left in the shelves of the music department. If anybody wants to learn how to play the trumpet, come." I didn't know it. I didn't know anything about the trumpet. I ran down to the room and I said, "Is that trumpet still up?" "Yeah." "Okay, it's yours. You come to practice." Well, about 3 weeks into that, I got so bored.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, the teacher gave you the assignment and you had a week to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even do it. He gave me the assignment. I went a whole week, didn't even touch the horn, and went to my practice. You had to play what you were supposed to learn in front of the teacher. Uh-huh. Well, I hadn't played the trumpet in 7 days, and I didn't know I didn't know beans about nothing. And he told me, "Dave, you are the worst trumpet player we have." And I said to myself, I cried. I cried in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I cried, walked out, and you know what? I grabbed up that trumpet and I played it 10 hours a day.
Did you?
When I went back to the classroom, he said, "Dave, what happened to you? You can play this better than anybody else."
How about that? So his words inspired you to excel at your job.
I said, "Man, this man made me cry. I was so sorry for what I was doing."
Yeah.
If you have a talent, you don't know if you have a talent, try something. Try to do something that you never did before. In my old age,
yes,
I tried to pick up a set of paints and see if I could paint a canvas.
Yeah.
Man.
I know you can do that. We have one of your paintings
right outside the door.
Radio station, yes. Yes.
You have a lot of talent, Gift. It didn't happen overnight with you either.
That's exactly right, yes. I spent my career as a computer specialist.
I mean, how many years did you go for that? 25 years?
32
years.
I was in we call it a data processing business today. They call it information technology. However, yes, that was my bread and butter for my life. Very, very few fourth grade students write a paper when the teacher says, what do you want to do when you grow up? And do they say computer specialist? I don't think that happens. maybe more today than it did years ago. But that was my title, and that's what I did. Was that my God-given talent? Well, I felt it was at the time. I was doing the best I could, and I was successful at it. I don't know if I was the most brilliant person. I was certainly not Bill Gates, but I enjoyed my work, and I excelled at it, and I had major accomplishments, so I was content. But was that my calling for this good old world? How am I going to know for sure? Well, I feel at this particular stage in my life, things have changed, and I've made some adjustments, and I feel that my calling was, in fact, to be seated right here with you in Cumberland Valley Christian Radio, bringing the good news to hundreds, maybe thousands of listeners. That's my task at hand today, and I feel good about that. I think this is where God wants me to be.
Well, you know, I was with a singing group for all these years.
Yeah.
But I didn't get in the couriers the first time I got up to sing. Mm-hmm. I had two other groups that I went with for a while.
Okay, that's right.
And one bunch of guys said, Dave, you'll never be a singer, so we have to replace you.
Is that right?
Yeah, I cried and I didn't went know to my that. Room and cried for yeah. a week.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah. And then I went to with another group called Evangelaires.
Uh-huh.
And that put me down the road a little bit. When the couriers came, I said, well, you know, I have a talent of some yeah. sort. Yes. It's not incredible.
Yes.
But it was about like them.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we went, and boy, I tell you.
You polished your talent.
For years, we polished our talent.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah, you got to be one of the greatest basses that ever lived.
Well, I would yeah. say that for
I
sure.
would. I would say that. Well, anyway, I feel good about what you accomplished and how you lived your life. And I do believe that that you met God's calling, and you spent your career doing what you were meant to do. And you know something, Dave? Let's face it, that's just as good as it gets. That's just as good as it gets.
I wouldn't go back and trade my life for anything.
Yes.
At this point.
Yes.
Okay?
That's right.
If you're a parent today and you're listening to DeGiff and I, and you're having and saying, what in the world are those guys talking about? When you get in your 70s and your 80s, you begin to look back and say, what did I do right or what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
And raising your children,
mm-hmm.
you know, raising your children, you have to go for it. I pushed my daughters, all three of them, to play the piano. I'd give them lessons. I said, I'll pay for everything. I want you. And, you know, they said, Dad, we're not interested in that piano. We don't care about it. I forced them.
Yeah.
I said, no way. You're not getting out of it that easy. And two of them can play the piano quite decent.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not... Uh-huh. They can get along with church and, yes. the, and the song for service there. But you have to force your kids. Don't let yep. them talk you out of what
yes.
you think is their talent. You have to say, hey.
You have to help them along.
Get with it. Get
That's
with
right.
it.
Isn't it funny you would use that as an example? Because I have a similar example from my high school days. I was a business student in high school. Business students had to type. I learned to type in high school, and I'm not saying that I could win any kind of competition, but I can type as well as most secretaries to this day because of what I learned in high school. Who would ever have thought when I was doing that I would spend the rest of my life behind a keyboard? But I did. You know, there weren't computers whenever I was in high school, and we just had typewriters. I don't think they even have typewriters in school anymore. They call it keyboarding now, and no typewriters. But I learned to type when I was in high school, and I have used that skill probably, if I can't say every day, but I can say just about every day my entire adult life. I spend a lot of time behind the keyboard, all because of what I learned in high school.
Hey,
and I did. You think I wanted to do that when I was in high school?
Probably not.
No, but I had to do it.
When I got in high school, I took typing.
Did you? You did too?
I went to the room, and there was 30 girls and me. And I was kind of embarrassed to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe boys don't yeah. type, you know.
Yeah, no, the odds weren't quite that bad with me.
I learned how to type, and I was good at it, and yeah. I only used it for one thing. I went to the publishing house and got a job because I could type.
Yeah.
And when that job ended in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I never typed again.
Is that right?
But I got the job.
You got the job. Yeah.
My kids, they come to me and say, Dad, you never typed 90 words a minute without making a mistake like you said. I said, yeah, I did. Uh-huh. They said, prove it. There ain't no way I can prove it now for sure.
20 never that good. But I could type to, 67, 68, and maybe 69 words a minute occasionally. Mm-hmm. With no mistakes. Now today, with our, the auto correction and things like that, you don't have to be worried about making a mistake. In the old days, a typing mistake was terrible because it took you half an hour to fix one little error. So you had to make no mistakes. It's not true anymore. So I probably would make some errors, but I could still type. I bet I could still type 50 words a minute. Wow. In my senior years here. Yeah, I can do okay.
Sometimes it's your fault that you don't use the talent God gave you.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I quit the trumpet because my father said that I was not allowed to go to the football game. He thought football was a waste of time.
Waste of time, yeah.
Well, I got in the band, and I played the trumpet in the band. Well, the band was going to the football game at halftime and go up and down the field. Mm-hmm. But this boy, I was, with the whole band's out there ready going up. Man, my dad said, you can't go to that. We're not going to football games. And I said, Dad, if you will not let me play in the band at the halftime at football, I will put it in the case in front of you right here, and I will never take it out again. Uh-huh. Well, I didn't.
Is that right?
That's right. And I can't play the trumpet today.
No kidding. He wouldn't let you do it.
And I thought, wow. It didn't mess him up. It messed me.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
he got it a little too opinionated. Well, that can happen. And something? That's what we're trying to share with our listeners today, to not be discouraged if you experience a number of failures before you reach your place of destiny. And that's what you were just talking about. Walt Disney went bankrupt several times before he built Disneyland. Most great achievers, in fact, have collected a number of outstanding failures before they succeeded. Look at Apostle Peter. He was weak and intimidated by a woman in her home of a high priest, yet he became a great preacher on the day of Pentecost. Historian teaches that when he dies, he was crucified, but that he was crucified upside down. Remember studying that? He felt unworthy to be crucified like Jesus. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it is written just that way. For a man falleth seven times, he rises up again. Proverbs 24:16. So we can make mistakes, and we do not have to be on top of the world when we're real young. And maybe we will fail. At maybe even fail at what we're good at.
I have a question for you, Giff.
Sure.
Are you through with discovering gifts?
I hope not. I don't have that absolute answer, but I hope not. I hope that out there somewhere in my future, there is something that I uncover that is, say, this is a God-given gift that I didn't know I had, and I have to polish this talent and do something miraculous. Because when I'm dead and gone and I'm in the cemetery, I want people to be able to say, hey, you see that guy laying there? He did something great in his lifetime. He left something behind. That's my ambition in life.
Well, that's,
I want to be able to leave something behind.
That's great, even at your age.
That's right.
Because when you get in your 70s and 80s, you think, hey, I produced all the talent that I ever have had. But if you're saying that you're still looking for new talent, I'm going to watch you.
Yes, that's right. You keep an eye on me. One of our famous sayings, you and I have both uttered the words before, that we haven't lived our best day yet. I'm always looking forward to the future. What's the future going to uncover? What can I do that's great? What can I do that will praise the name of Jesus? Or Jesus will look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to be able to please the Lord in what I do and what I accomplish. And I want to expect that my gifts and skills will go on and be remembered. And that's just That's just the way we all should live, to at least a certain degree. I won't say that my philosophy stands a head and shoulders above anybody else's, but I want to encourage everyone to always look forward to doing their best. Dave, the engineer, is telling us we've exhausted our time. Would you try to close today with giving our listeners a word of inspiration about using their God-given talents and skills?
Well, you must find out that there's books, there's seminars, there's churches, there's places to go that can develop your gifts and your skills. They may not even be celebrated in your own home. If you as a parent don't recognize the gifts in your children, pray that somebody else will. Don't ever just push your children aside and say, well, they'll learn someday. When they get to be 32, all kids are the same at 32. Don't you ever believe that.
That's right.
Everybody isn't the same at 32, age 32. And you will do yourself a favor to look at your children today different when they come home and be sure that the talents they have, you've found out about them and thank them for them.
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye for now, friends.
Hey, we got to go. Bye-bye.